Here we are, the 31st issue, episode, thingy, mabobber. There's only three of us today, myself, that's Marty,
Florence,
and Jason,
and together we are
Read Comics.
Read Comics!
Where's my wine?
We were just talking about how we went to the store today, it's Wednesday. The day for that.
The day for going to the store.
And Jason bought?
I bought two comics. Well, actually, one magazine, one comic. I bought Alter Ego. It has Aquaman on the cover. Yay!
Aquaman!
And I also bought The Muppet Show, issue number one.
Well.
It's down in the car, though.
Oh! Should we go get it?
Well, we could.
We should.
Are we pausing?
Yep. And we're back.
Jason. It hardly seems like we were gone. All right. I have The Muppet Show comic book number one in front of me by Boom Kids, Boom Studios.
Does it have some kind of official licensing
dealing?
I mean, I would assume.
That's pretty official right there.
Wow.
And it is written and drawn by Roger Langridge. His art looks familiar, but I don't know that I've necessarily seen much else by him.
That's kind of a cool name. It could be fun to say it and say it. There'd be all kinds of puns with language and language.
And I'm not sure what I think of the art too much yet. I mean, obviously, you recognize the characters as the Muppet Show characters, but there's just something kind of off in how they're drawn. Like, this picture of Fozzie here, it looks like Fozzie, but it doesn't look like Fozzie.
It's a cartoon version of Fozzie.
And I guess, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, when you say, oh, so-and-so drew Bruce Wayne, and then someone else drew Bruce Wayne, you know, they're going to look different. But I guess when you're talking about something that's not real and always looks the same way.
Right. Something as iconic as a Muppet.
Yeah. And especially since, you know, we've had cartoon versions of them before.
True.
And I mean, I haven't read it yet, so it'll all depend on how the story is when I read it.
Yeah.
Susie joined us. Hi, Susie.
Hi.
And, Susie, what I was talking about was I picked up The Muppet Show comic book number one today from Boom Studios. And it turns out that in the back, Boom has apparently done a license deal with Disney, Pixar, and Muppets. And they're going to be putting out a line in their Boom Kids line that's going to have The Muppet Show, Muppet Robin Hood, which I'm guessing Kermit is going to be Robin Hood. So kind of along the lines of, you know, various other, where the Muppet characters are the characters in, you know, Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah.
The Incredibles, that was also out today. I didn't pick it up. The World of Cars, Disney Pixar Cars.
Really?
Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., and WALL-E. These are all going to be comics from Boom Studios.
Wow.
So
I wonder are they
stories or are they?
Yeah, they're all original stories that take place in these various worlds. Like there are going to be Incredibles comics.
I want to read the WALL-E comics.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Well,
there'd be a lot to say.
Here's
about
the question: is like, I mean, part of the thing that makes Pixar so great is not just the animation, but the writing.
Yeah.
And are we going to be like, not so sure about this.
That will be disappointing, it's true. Or it could be disappointing.
It's hard to say. Did they say who the creators and the writers and the artists are going to be?
Well, for The Incredibles, it is... The art is Michael Avon Eeming, who does Powers.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because I've always thought that the main guy in Powers kind of looks like Mr. Incredible a little bit.
Hmm.
And now the same artist is drawing Mr. Incredible. But it doesn't say who the writer is. Maybe it says here in the back. I'll look for a second and you guys can
discuss. Well, the other things that we picked up, I mean, I picked up the second issue of Superhuman Resources, which is just kind of a new, interesting-looking comic.
Have you read the first one?
No, and I haven't even read the first one that came out 2 weeks ago. There's a new Elephant Man, and what else came out today?
Another Ender's Game?
No, that was older. Another Top Ten, and this is a special thing, so I don't know if there's going to be multiple specials.
No, it's probably a reprint of old issues. You probably bought it already.
Let's hope that's not true.
That's what that planetary thing was on the shelf.
I know.
It was a reprint of the first issue.
Yeah, that's actually a whole movement. But it's a marketing tactic. They are trying to basically... It's what should you read after you watch The Watchmen? You've read The Watchmen. Yeah, didn't you see? Like, on the top it said, like, what comes after The Watchmen? ? And then planetary. That's what.
Really?
Yeah. If you go to what is it? Marvel? Are they Marvel? Are they
planetary
DC?
Planetary is Wildstorm, so it's DC.
DC. So, but I mean,
and Watchmen
is
DC,
right?
Yeah.
So if you go to the DC website, it's all about this.
Use it as a lead-in to their dark kind of comics.
Yep, it's a jumping point. Basically, they're saying like, you know. After you read this iconic graphic novel, what should you read next? And so I saw a blog post about it, and that kind of like was like, oh, what would I recommend after this? And their points were really dumb, and I had to comment and be like, no. If you've just read like a graphic novel, and this is your first graphic novel ever, and it was, you know, The Watchmen or whatever, and you really enjoyed it, do not recommend something like Planetary that doesn't finish, has no end, you know, is not, I don't know. I mean, I would recommend complete stories. Like, I would never recommend.
Yeah, but you're thinking about it from your point of view, where you hate the fact that you're left hanging every month.
Well, that's true.
From a marketing point of view, they would want new readers to get hooked on never-ending things and keep buying issues.
Okay, that's a good point. But I think it would turn people off. I think if that had been the second graphic novel I read, and then I found out, like, oh, shit, only one issue in, like, the last 2 years has come out, and...
Oh, but how many issues are there?
Like, 24.
So...
It's not a lot.
No.
And if... Because the next
one
that comes out is the last issue, right?
No, I don't think so.
I thought it was supposed to be the last issue.
To be, like, three more or something.
Oh, I didn't know it was that close, though. That's,
well, maybe they
actually
locked the artist up and...
I don't know. Yeah, I mean...
Bendis started like 300 new other titles and just clearly was no interest in the same.
It's Warren
Ellis.
Not
Bendis, I'm sorry. Ellis, that's what I meant.
Yeah, which, you know, he has, but didn't he say... I mean, Jason and I were talking about this earlier today. We think that he said he'd finished the arc. Like, he'd written it all. It's just that the artist... He was waiting on the artist.
I thought he said just the next issue.
I don't remember. This was Wizard World almost a year ago.
And
at this
point. Late at night.
It was late at night.
It was late at night, yes.
It was fading.
Do you remember, Susie?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so I personally kind of railed against like almost all their choices. I mean, some of the stuff that they said was like, okay, yeah, that's kind of interesting. But
this was on the shelf or in a blog post?
No, it was in a blog post.
What else did they recommend?
Well, it was specifically saying, of the things that DC is recommending, what would I endorse? Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, no, I would endorse these other things that DC is recommending, specifically because they're completed.
And do you remember what those are?
No.
Yeah, what were the other things?
Well, we could pull it up, but...
why bother?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of them, and there were four categories, basically, on the website. It was like, one was like adult graphic novels... One was more science fiction or something like that.
We can find a link to it later.
So
yeah.
Basically, remember to say, now that you've dipped your toe into the comic books at all, here's everything we publish.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it wasn't at all specific.
Well, and DC has published other lists like that. They've published a, like their 100 iconic graphic novels published by DC.
Right.
Yeah. So,
On a tangent, Jason, your hair color looks awesome.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I don't really think that's... It doesn't have to be slightly on topic for it to be a tangent. It's more of a non sequitur.
Yes, all right. That was more apt.
So, Jason...
What do you think of my hair color, Susie?
My first of it was that it was cool.
Yeah, that was a slight joke because Susie is no longer in Minneapolis. She's back in Chicago and joining us via Skype.
Not
video Skype.
We also went to the library after the source, and one of the things that I was excited about was Jason found me the 7th graphic novel of Ex Machina. And I'm not 100% sure I've read the 6th, but I'm pretty sure.
And you get that for 3 weeks. And you can renew it. So you have time to find Volume 6 at the library.
Will I wait? Probably not.
Yeah.
So there is a Volume 7 out now?
Yes. It's Ex Machina Ex Cathedra.
Do you know, Ex Machina is ending soon, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, is he doing the same number of issues that he did for Why the Last Man?
I don't know.
Meaning one too many?
I mean,
you know, I think I read something about that too, but... But I know it hasn't yet.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I appropriated it from my to-read pile.
For your to-read pile?
Yes.
You said from.
Yeah. I meant for, whatever I said.
Jason kept for himself the new Batman R.I.P.
Well, of course I kept it for myself. I had it on reserve.
Oh, you did?
Susie, dear, are you getting that?
I've been getting it from the library, so next time I go, I will check out.
Oh, so.
See if they've got it yet.
Which
I think
one?
We can borrow.
Ex Machina?
Oh, Ex Machina, yeah.
Oh, I was talking about Batman R.I.P.
We'd moved on.
I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted.
Yeah, basically, it's the story of how Batman dies, right? I mean, it's supposed to be. It's the Grant Morrison, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely no sense.
And Jason wasn't convinced that he actually dies. We haven't actually gotten that far, obviously, since
well,
Night of the Super.
I thought it was modeled after.
It happened at the same time as, was it Final Crisis? But not completely...
They're not completely connected.
Yeah.
Like, Final Crisis is kind of off on its own thing, and... All these other series are kind of off on their own things, and there's a little bit of crossover. Like, that Birds of Prey, Dark Side Club, that had to do with Final Crisis.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where Misfit and Black Alice were held prisoner. Those characters, Dark Side and Granny Goodness, they're from Final Crisis. Those are characters that had been created by Grant Morrison off of characters that had been created by Jack Kirby when he did the New Gods stuff in the 70s at DC.
Okay, I just thought that I would read the
okay, no,
spoilers.
I'm going to... I will... You must have been joking.
I'm not joking.
I would have...
I did
totally
just read the end. But I will
taken
not
this
say it out loud.
And
apparently.
Dumped it on both of your laptops.
Collateral damage. I'm an innocent in this.
Oh, you married him. It's marriage, you know. It's for better or for worse, baby.
Well, I could tell you how it ends, but I won't.
And then I also got a couple other Batman graphic novels or trade paperbacks at the library. Batman and the Outsiders and... A Judd Winnick Batman.
Well, he doesn't.
Collection.
He doesn't die in either of those.
No, he doesn't die in either of these.
Is that your spoiler?
That's right. Those are my spoilers.
Your spoiler is. Oh,
are there still
alternate
Batmans running around like there was for a while there?
I don't know. This Batman R.I.P. collects. Let's see. Ooh, this is the deluxe edition.
Yeah.
It's
cool. It's very pretty, actually. I was just flipping through it. I really like the art a lot, and I would like to read it. It's interesting because I totally can see where people are coming from when they say it makes no sense. I mean, it's definitely jumping around quite a bit.
Well, it's Grant Morrison. And Grant Morrison has so many websites devoted to annotating his comics. I mean...
Yep.
It seems like we talk about this nearly every podcast.
I know, I was going to say that, things. Too.
We're probably going to bring up zombies at some point, too.
Speaking of which, so I just read The Walking Dead. The last issue. And it occurs to
issue
me
59.
That the only way I remain unspoiled is by paying no attention to the front cover. Because every time I'm completely caught off guard by the twist, I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming. And then later I look at the cover and realize it showed that exact scene.
Right.
But my obliviousness is what is protecting me and keeping me in suspense.
I was going to bring up Walking Dead in that the other night I went to the Y, and one of the guys that works at the Y, who has lots of cool tattoos and stuff, he is a comic fan. Although he scoffs at superhero comics. I bet he's a closet superhero comic reader. But we were talking the other day. He had just finished the whole Preacher series by Garth Ennis. Yeah. And he asked if I was still avoiding reading Walking Dead, because he and I had talked about this before, and that I can't do Walking Dead. And I said, you know, but I hear things about it and everything, and I might read an issue on the shelf every once in a while. And he was talking about stuff that had been going on and certain things I kind of knew about. Like, I knew that Rick and his son was on their own. So I'm assuming that his wife died, because that's The Walking Dead. I didn't know how she died, and he told me. And my jaw dropped, and I'm like, this is why I'm not reading this comic. That is the most horrible thing I had ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Well, and it only occurred to me after the fact, but he did totally spoil it. Kirkman, we saw him speak at Wizard World last year, and he did spoil part of what was going to happen. But I just had no idea what he was talking about yet, because I hadn't read a single issue, and it wasn't until I saw it actually happen that I was like, oh, right.
Well, and I figured that, you know, he was going to do something really deviant, like the baby was going to be born stillborn,
mm-hmm.
and come out a zombie baby and, you know, eat his way out of her or something like that. But, you know, what I heard happen, without spoiling it for any of our listeners who are reading Walking Dead, could possibly be worse than that.
Well, I mean, I do think that one of his ongoing themes is that zombies are not the worst thing in the world.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that is,
I
think...
I'm with you, Jason. I'm glad I'm not reading it.
I think that is the main theme of it, is mm-hmm. that, you know, the world can be populated by, you know, covered in zombies, and, oh, humans are still worse than that.
Yeah. Like,
people are still jerks.
Oh, jerks, yeah. That's the name for it.
I've also just read the last two issues of Angel After the Fall, thanks to Susie. And it finished up the major arc to the point that, like, is this the end of the season? Are they now launching a new season, or what's going on?
They are moving with a new writer. But I don't think they've called it a new season yet.
Because it certainly feels like it should be.
Well, it's a much longer arc than like a lot of the Buffy arcs.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, 16 issues.
Yeah.
Of yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I actually had... Go ahead.
Hmm? No, what did you say?
I had the... first trade of Angel After the Fall checked out from the library, and I think I read like the first issue out of it, and I returned the rest of it unread.
Yeah, I was not enjoying it at first, and I still kind of stand by that, but now that Susie's loaned me the rest of the arc and I have read the whole thing as it was intended, I actually got way more into it reading all at once. And that's kind of what I suspected. When I was reading it issue by issue, I suspected that part of what I wasn't liking about it is that the pace of it just wasn't working for me, and my ability to remember what was going on and the way it was working out But when I did sit down and digest, like, I don't know how many issues you brought with you, but maybe 10, and I read those all at once, I got way more caught up in the story and cared more than I had been caring. Because it's just the characters are so, it's such a different situation than I was used to them being in, and it's, you know, didn't feel character driven. It felt like it was being driven by these crazy external circumstances, and so I needed to be a little more immersed to actually care about them again. And okay. And I did, and now I feel like I got closer on that, and now I just have no idea where they're going with it next. It feels like it should be done now, to me.
Well, and yeah, and the way they did it was a very, you know, we should be, like, furious, because it's
yeah.
very retconny, and yet it totally works.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, oh, reset, back to the beginning, like, exactly like that. But
yeah.
It works.
Yep. Well, what's interesting is that now it's tying into Buffy in the tabloidy sense.
Yeah, that's true.
So
because now they are famous.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how much they will actually explicitly tie into the fact that Harmony is now also is a famous
yeah.
vampire who has her own reality show and is kind of fucking things up for the Slayers. I wonder how Angel being now a famous vampire in L.A. is going to tie into that.
Hmm. You would think they would know each other. They'd hobnob.
Well, Harmony used to be his receptionist.
Yeah.
So.
On the show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, I think I might have actually still been watching it when that happened. Like, she tried to not be evil, but she couldn't not be evil.
Well, yeah, I don't know, evil.
Stupid.
Well,
she still ate people occasionally. She
yeah.
slipped up.
She slipped up and ate people. Another thing I got at the library was, and this ties in because of Joss Whedon, the first trade of Dark Horse Presents.
MySpace Dark Horse Presents.
MySpace Dark Horse Presents, it's true. So is that different from Dark Horse Presents? Is there a Dark Horse Presents that's not MySpace?
Well, Dark Horse Presents... was a print comic for a while, and then it moved to MySpace.
Ah, okay.
And so, basically, Dark Horse Presents is now exclusively on MySpace until they, you know,
publish it.
All
yeah, I was just gonna say. So I'm pretty sure I've read a bunch of this already on MySpace.
But you've read the Sugar Shock, the whole thing, haven't you?
That's the
Joss Whedon
one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's good. I actually have MySpace Dark Horse Presents Volume 2. In my backpack, and it actually it's not a Joss Whedon story, it's a Zach Whedon story.
Oh.
And it's a Captain Hammer story.
Yeah, I read that on MySpace as well. Yeah, me too.
And it wasn't really that good.
It was okay. I liked the Moist one better.
I don't know
that's
about
not
Moist.
I don't think that's in the second trade yet. It'll probably be in the third.
Yeah, I did not finish either of those things online because I just don't like that format. So I'm looking forward to reading it in printed form.
Why don't you read it on your iPhone?
The iPhone's so tiny.
Yeah.
You could easily read it on there, though.
Well, you can show me, but...
I you know, people talk about these comic apps for the iPhone, and I'm like, really? The screen is itty-bitty. Itty-bitty!
So I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but I just last Friday went to a party at... my friend Lem's place, and he's one of the guys who...
I love his webcomic.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet. Now that I've met him and his wife, I need to read his comic.
Right, so his comic is... Do you remember what it's called, Jason?
I don't, but it has naked boy. Well, not really. It has naked boys and boxers in the first...
I can't believe I'm forgetting
comics,
the name of it.
Which I commented on his...
Terrible friend.
He commented...
Apparently
he
I am.
Commented in one of the most recent... webcomics that he wasn't sure about having the guys just in boxers in the first couple of strips and whether that would turn people away. And I commented saying, hey, it drew me in. Much like Menage a Three.
Yeah.
Having naked guys in your first couple of comics, definite plus.
I love that comic. So
and maybe if they have sex, even better.
Well, they totally have.
Like, one day of strip, and it made absolutely no sense to me.
Starting from the beginning, it is so good.
It really
okay.
is good. As is...
But I do have it on Piper.no, which I'm using now.
Cool.
So,
Pipe Orca is so awesome. Okay, it's called Blanket. It's B-L-A-N-K space I-T. And it's just, it's surreal and fun and, yeah, surprisingly so. Because I had read like the first five or six issues and, you know, I thought it was like really well drawn. I did not think of it as being well written. And now I really think it's also extremely well written.
It's very well written. I think that Lem and what's his, is it just Lem? No,
there's another guy. And the other guy writes it. I think Lem only draws it.
I love it. We actually met them at FallCon last year.
Right. I've known Lem since high school, though. But anyway, so the point is that they have an iPhone app. It has not been finished, but it'll be out fairly soon. I think it's going to be free.
And what's it for?
Just for the comic. All it's going to have is the comic. And it'll pick up new strips. Every time you open it, it'll say, oh, there's, you know, X number of new strips or whatever. And
are you porting it to the G1, huh, Lem? Are you?
Cause, that sounds fun, because that's actually the creators involved with it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Like, but the other ones, I don't know because I've never used them, but, you know, it's so small, so you really can never read it as is, you know, as it is published on either online or, you know, in print. You can never read it like that. You have to expand it or, you know, zoom in on things.
And well, I really like the way...
That's okay if it's one teeny tiny panel, but what if it's like a huge panel? You know, it's just... But if it's the creators actually involved in transferring it to the iPhone, they can sort of choose how they want you to see it on it.
Looking at his comic, we just looked at his comic again, and I can say that it does look like it could translate well to an iPhone screen. Or a G1 screen.
Well, he is also collaborating on other projects that are associated with G1. I just don't think this particular one is going to make it.
That's
to that.
True. Yeah. If you bug him enough, he might.
Yeah, he knows someone who is a G1 programmer, and,
oh, okay.
and
yeah.
they're working on a different collaboration together. So cool. it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I just added it to my Pipe Orca.
Sweet. Yeah,
it's
Pipe
Orca. Space it, yes?
But, yeah, blank space it.
Okay.
I think Marty linked it to me. I forget why exactly he linked it to me, but then I went back and read it from the beginning, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is so good. It's very surreal. It's very, like... It kind of doesn't make sense. Kind of like they keep... It really totally seems like they're making it up as they go along. But in their case, making it up as they go along completely works.
Well, and he actually said they have, you know, some... They have an idea of where it's going.
Yeah,
and
they have,
first,
like... They've mapped out the life of the comic in high-level terms. And he actually said you know, they thought it would be going faster, but they're finding so many interesting things to do along the way.
Yeah, he said at first they had, like...
That's for sure.
He said they had a 3-year arc planned out, and he said at the rate they're going, it's actually more like a 10-year arc.
You know, some of these webcomics have been around for, like, 10 years now. I think Penny Arcade has hit the 10-year mark, hasn't it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I certainly don't know. I've probably been... Well... I don't remember if Penny Arcade was around when I first, like, really got into
it. I don't know. Maybe it hasn't. I wonder if user-friendly
it wouldn't have been
far
after, if not.
Speaking of webcomics, my last Read Comics post was about some of the webcomics I've been reading, and one of the creators responded.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was Yamino, the creator of Sister Claire, just, you know, in a little comment saying, thanks for the short review. I'm really glad you liked the comic so far.
Yeah, and that's a really good one, too. I'm also digging Sister Claire at your recommendation.
Yeah. It's adorable. And it's got it's definitely got a continuous plot. And it's only a couple months old, so it hasn't gone very far yet, but it definitely seems clear that there is something, like, big stuff coming and planned. And it's also very fun.
Yeah, I guess I haven't caught up on that one yet, so I don't really know how... I mean, I think I still have, like, 50 issues or 50 comics to read.
it's only one page per, like, week, I think.
Oh, okay.
So,
it is...
So, you know, think of it as, like, the, you know, first 50 pages of a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It is kind of awesome when you find a new webcomic that's really good and you... Go, okay, how much? 3 years! Oh! I have 3 years of comics to read!
Yep. Which reminds me, I was gonna say, going to the library, now I have all these comics to read, and I have no chance of reading them. I mean, I just feel like... Oh, so the other thing I got...
What, this pile is what you're talking about right here?
This is what I'm talking about.
Oh my god, this is nothing!
But,
seriously?
Let me just say, yes, spoken from someone who has a whole shelf at home of library books. But one of them that I got was the first trade of Promethea.
You know, Susie has that.
I did not know Susie has it, but, I mean, why not just get it from the library? Because every library has it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just felt kind of picking this up like, I don't know, is it time? You know, like, do I have the time for this?
Alan Moore.
There's going to be a lot of detail.
I liked it. I liked it quite a lot.
Really?
Well, I kind of
I know we...
Okay.
What?
I liked the first four a whole lot, and then the fifth one was very... It just diverged completely from the plot.
Interesting.
And it was the last one, so... And it kind of made me feel differently about the story completely as a whole. Like, well, you know... It just didn't feel like the story I had been reading.
Huh. I think...
And now I like it less.
I think, Marty, you'll appreciate it more.
Yeah.
From the literary aspect.
Oh.
it reminds me a lot of the Thursday Next type of thing.
Oh.
Really?
Where you have the characters... There being that connection between... the real world and the fictional world.
Hmm.
And that the character that these people are writing comes to life. And, yeah, it's...
The tagline is, if she did not exist, we would have to invent her.
Yep.
Well, she only exists because they invented her. Isn't that the case?
Well, you're just putting the cart before the horse, Susie. I actually, the real reason that I mean, I kind of picked it up because I had seen it, you know, 1,000,000,000,000 times, and I had never really looked at it. And so then, when I noticed that the covers were by Alex Ross, that was when I...
What are you doing?
Actually decided to get it. Apparently our cat just attacked
my
Jason.
Thigh, yes.
Really? That's not okay. Okay, we will arm you with water.
Squirt gun.
Your eye?
No, my thigh.
Oh, your thigh. Okay.
Yes, all of a sudden, I feel like claws.
Oh. Which one?
Oh, which one? Aloysius, of course.
Yeah, although...
She was all...
I tapped my back, but, like, no claws. He would just sort of, like, jab at my back.
You know, I think he was just stretching, and then... It's possible he fell off the chair here and then was, like, scampering on your leg.
Okay. I mean, he didn't really dig in with the claws, but there was definitely catching on my jeans.
Yeah, I think if he were play attacking you, he wouldn't have actually clawed.
Okay.
That's my hope.
yeah, when he attacked me, it was like, attention, now! Turn around!
Well...
And there was no claws, there was no aggressive, it was just...
Look at me! I wanted to talk a little bit. I haven't listened to it yet, but I thought of you, Florence, and you, Susie, that apparently there is a comic book podcast out there that is all girls. It's two girls. It's actually done by the wife of someone who's on the CBQ forum. It's a straight guy, a straight Welsh guy on the CBQ forum and on Around Comics forum. He goes by Blue Meanie. On it, and it's his wife and her friend, And the name of this podcast, and I should listen to it before I recommend it, but I love the name, is Comic Racks.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's an all-female comic book podcast forum, which may be, I mean, there's the one that's the one girl, but this is like actual more than one girl doing it. That's all girls?
Oh, girls is,
Birds of Geek, right?
I thought we were talking about. Yeah.
No, this is a newer one.
Yeah, and I've been catching up on it very slowly. I'm about 2 years behind on it. But they're interesting. You know, one's British and one is from New York, so they both have interesting accents.
Do they Skype?
Yeah, interesting opinions as well.
Says the girl from Chicago. You don't have much of a Chicago accent, but, you know.
No, we're North Side. We don't have the iconic South Side Chicago accent.
Sometimes. I can hear myself sometimes. And
just wait, Florence, and you'll get the dropped O.
We turn T's in the middle or at the end of the word into D's.
D's, that's true. Yeah.
And just wait. You'll be saying, oh, yeah, before you know it, Florence.
I don't know, it might take more than 3 years.
You betcha. So, yeah, what was I going to say? I don't know. Fuck!
No, that's what you're going to say. Well,
I
thought that we should kind of keep it short tonight. I was hoping to finish by 9, and it's 9:30. So,
no hot clubbing tonight?
I don't know.
That's not comic book related.
Podcast. From the hot tub, with the comics from the library.
We'll be podcasting from the hot tub at Galaxicon in October. So
I seriously doubt it.
Many
what?
Attractive gay men.
Well, I mean, we might podcast from there, but I doubt it'll be from the hot tub.
Okay.
You're not getting my laptop anywhere near the hot tub. How's that?
How about your iPhone?
Maybe.
Yeah, I bet your iPhone will be near the hot tub because you can't be away from it for more than like it actually has one of those invisible leashes that can't stretch.
That's right.
I think you might explode actually. If
ooh, I will say that my game is
I knew
in
this
review.
Was coming. Yay. I shouldn't have mentioned the iPhone.
So it's been submitted to Apple, and we'll see how long it takes for them to approve it.
I have play tested it. I liked it.
Yay!
I was playing it this afternoon. I like it.
Excellent. Well, I went to an iPhone meetup on Monday, and a bunch of people said they would buy it, so...
Oh, really?
I'll have at least a dozen people
that buy it. All right, well, there you go.
Yep.
You can take Florence back out to spill the wine. Or maybe forward a show.
That would be more of a gift to me than a celebration for Friday, I think.
That's true.
All
right, well...
Shall we say this is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Adios and vamos.
Arrivederci. Bye.